Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you guys for joining us here at Harvest Light Church and Harvest Light Studios here in the city of Dallas, basically known as Power of the Harvest Broadcasting. Tonight we're going to actually kind of turn in the helm and let the man of God, Elder Kerry Williams out of Saginaw, Michigan, going to kind of run the show tonight. We're going to kind of step back in the cut and hear what we're going to learn today, even myself. As I come to bring myself under the obedience, under the anointing of the power of the Holy Spirit. Before we get started, we want to go ahead and get our announcements out. As we talk to you, most of you have been tuning in on this very subject we've been dealing with, Romans chapter 8. We got so much in it that we've been talking about. There's so much in it that we just can't get off of it because we're dealing with a lot of things we are kind of going through on this day and time. That we continue to walk according to the word that God has called us to be, and we continue to be obedient, and we become sonships, heirs, creators. Designed to speak and declare and to call things and events to be not thought there. It's only if we come into the understanding to realize that He's in control. Everything that we speak and talk about is all through Him. Want to get ourselves started here. We're going to the studio this afternoon. As we get underway for the man, God, Elder Kerry Williams out of Saginaw, Michigan, want to make sure that you guys can call the right station. The line to call in tonight is going to be area code 214. I want to give you area code 516. I'm sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. 387-1220. Once again, that's going to be area code 516-387-1220. That'll get you right into the show during the course of the time of this teaching. You're more than welcome to push the number one button, but we ask you to be prompt on your questions and answers, because this is a 90-minute show, and we want to move forward and hear what the Word of God is going to be speaking about all tonight. But our announcement tonight, we're going to tell you about the woman of God, Apostle Diva Curry, doing a great work throughout the Dallas Metroplex as well as around the Oklahoma City area, Houston area, Austin area. And it's her ministry is called God's Restoration Ministry. She's a powerful woman of God working in the area of deliverance. A lot of things we need to deal with in the body of Christ, and we see the engraftation and the power of the Holy Spirit. There's a number you can contact this woman of God with, and the number is going to be area code 214. There's my 214. 214-579-9002. Also, it's a sale number for those of you who want immediate attention to whatever it is that's going on in your life. There's a sale number you can call her at, and that's area code 469-909. That's 9122. Also, want to keep you in the loop as all we continue to keep our prayers and lift it up for the man of God at Reigning International Ministries out there in the city of Irving, Texas. And that's actually Dr. J.C. Matthews and his beautiful wife, Gina Matthews. And they're out there at 3001 Irving Boulevard in the city of Irving, Texas. And there's a contact number he has also. It's area code 877-377-3446. Now, during the course of time, as he's after his actually regular weekend service, which is Sunday, he also have an actual Monday night service that takes place. You can either come in teleconference or you can come in person. Now, the actual location, as I said before, for actually Monday night service starting at 7 o'clock out there at Reigning International, you can contact him at area code 877-377-3446. But if you're coming into the actual the physical service, you can still yet hear it from your homes or your computers, and there's a number you can call. And that number is actually 1-712-432-3066. And that's going to be an access code you're going to have to actually log into. That's going to be 311-1428. That's going to be 311-1428. Now, once again, this is on the Monday night service at the Reigning International out there in the city of Irving, Texas. His service is taking place in the city of Irving on Sunday afternoons at 6:30. Want to get you out there at 6 o'clock so you can hear all that he has to speak about. And that address is going to be 30 601 Irving Boulevard in the city of Irving, Texas. That's number 75061. But coming back on Monday, he's there also. And he has a dual, pretty much, kind of like a dual conversation, that the dual actually contact situation here is going on out in the city of Irving. If you're there physically in the service, he will rather for you to be there. But those who are out of town and want to hear the information, some of the power or the words he's bringing forth is coming from the kingdom of God, because he is a kingdom deliverer. The number, once again, is 712-432-3066. Now, there's an access code. You want to write this down. It's going to be 311-1428. Now, most of the time, most of you come to one of my social network stations, or you look at my website, which is harvestnewlifechurch.com, and you go to the actual area where it says events, you'll see this information there also, and you can get all that information, retrieve it, if you're going to come into this actually physical or on his actually teleconference that takes place on Monday night. Tonight, we're going to actually be moving forward. Let's get ourselves prepared. I don't want to stay on this mic too long, but I want to get a shout out to the beautiful wife, Co-Pastor Patty S. I'm always calling her Co-Pastor Patty S. for some reason, but we want to get it confused. But she is a beautiful woman of God, and she is in the leadership here at Harvest My Church and does a fabulous job in what she's doing here at the Kingdom of God. And also, I want to say hello to my good friend, Pastor Edward Pearson, who most of you have saw on the actual internet service. And if you come to my one of web stations, you'll see him. And he's going to be actually coming up this coming April. And he's got a show called 1 Hour with Pastor Edward Pearson coming out of the city of Terrell, Texas. Now, he has a beautiful ministry out there in the city of Terrell, Texas, and it's a powerful ministry. And for those who have looked at the social network and been around some of the things we saw on my website, you'll see him and his wife there on that particular network asking you to come out and be with them. And also, we want to say God blessings and thanks him for actually joining and being a part of this ministry and being a part of what we're doing here at Harvest Church. Several churches we have under this ministry and the work we're doing, we really designed to do our apostolic work, you know, walking in the area of the apostolic work. It's not the name or the title, it's the work that you do. And we want to thank the man of God out of Houston, Texas. That's Pastor Ricky Cook at Greater Love Full Gospel out in the city of Houston, Texas. And he does a great work as well. And you're going to see a lot of his information and advertising through some of our social network channels also. But let's get underway. Let's see what the Word of God is going to be speaking from this man of God on this afternoon concerning the Word that's coming from the Kingdom of God. And we want to turn the mics right over to him as we get right into the Word on this afternoon. Elder Kerry Williams, let me light you up here, get you going here. And let me let you open up with prayer and let's get started. Let's hear what the Word of God is going to be speaking to us on this afternoon.
Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for these hearts and these minds that are tuned in to receive your word this evening, O God. We thank you for your word and your spirit, O God. We ask that you continue to dwell in and amongst us, Lord, and to continue to lead us and guide us all through your paths of righteousness. We ask, O God, that you continue to bless and encourage and uplift anyone that would hear your word on tonight. These and all the blessings, thank you for in your son, Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, Pastor Charles Ellis. Again, my name is Elder Kerry Williams. Kerry Williams Ministries, located in Saginaw, Michigan. And we'd like to welcome to each and every one of you. I give honor to Apostle Charles Ellis and First Lady Patty Ellis out there in Dallas, Texas. But we want to get right into the scriptures tonight. We've been talking and teaching and discussing on power of the Holy Spirit, and more specifically how it's important for us as believers today to understand and know the difference between walking in the Spirit and walking in the flesh. And for that, we're going to go back to the book of Romans, the 8th chapter. And we want to start off down here at the 14th verse. In the beginning of this book, in this letter Paul was addressing to the Romans, the church of Rome, he began by giving them the source, the meat of the source for the Spirit. And he began, of course, we know that there is now for there no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, but who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That's verse 8 and 1. And he went on to tell us about the righteous requirement of the law would be fulfilled in those of us who do not walk according to the flesh. That's according to verse 4. But now when we move on and we get down to verse 14, Paul has begun a new section in this letter. And what he's doing, the reason why this is so important for us, and we can't stress it enough, is that because God has already let us know that once we've chosen to come to him and once we've chosen to walk according to his spirit, that we are no longer, not only we are no longer debtors to sin in our flesh, but we have actually become the sons of God. And I'm going to explain in a moment why this is important, but let me read the scripture. Verse 14, Romans 8 and 14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God." Please understand that God designs and desires the very best for us because he knows he is the very best. Amen. And he loves his children. He loves his sons and daughters. And he requires for us to walk according to his spirit, because not only does he empower us to represent him on this dirty earth, but he also gives us all of the benefit that comes along with it. I'm going to read a footnote. Excuse me. I'm going to read a footnote here concerning that very verse. And it says that the phrase, "as many as are led by the Spirit of God," is more than just a synonym for Christians, but it describes the lifestyle of those who are sons of God. See, Paul is giving an encouragement here. He's giving an encouragement not to live according to the flesh, but to put to death the deeds of the body. It's according to verse 13. Therefore, being led by the Spirit of God involves, and listen, it progressively and actively putting to death the sinful appetites or the sinful desires, the lust of the flesh and things of that nature, of the lower nature, what we consider the lower nature. That implies that while all Christians are in some general sense being led by the Spirit of God, there are increasing degrees of being led by the Spirit. The more fully people are led by the Holy Spirit, the more completely and the more completely will they be obedient to God and be conformed to his holy standards. In other words, what that's letting us know, the more we desire and the more we endeavor to walk in the Spirit, the easier it is to become obedient. Again, God knows that in our flesh we are what's considered to be creatures of habit. So it stands to reason that if you want to grow in God's grace, if you want to grow in the power of God's spirit, then you have to kill the old habits that your flesh desires, that rule your flesh, and you practice godly habits. You practice walking as according to God's spirit by employing the things of God to become habit in your life. We talked about the other night on what goes in is what's going to come out. It's just like you feed anything or anyone. We are what we eat, amen. And amen. If we're eating a steady diet of the word of God, then that's what's going to manifest in our bodies. And it's going to rule over our flesh. Again, this is why Paul said to us in Romans the 12th chapter, when he told us, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the tender mercies of God, to be, to be conformed, to allow your mind to be transformed by the word of God," because, again, the greatest battle that any man will ever face is against himself and his own flesh. And Jesus let us know that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So this battle that we have to fight every day becomes easier and less intense the more we incorporate godly habits, or the habits of walking according to God's spirit, into our daily routines and lives. Amen. And see, we continue this discussion because it's so vitally important for us today. We are at war against the enemy. Any soldier, any good soldier, number one, he's going to study and know his opponent. He has to know what he's dealing with and what his opponent's weaknesses are, what he has in his armor before he can even consider engaging the enemy in battle. The Bible says that no man going to war will not go without first counting up the cost. And I'm here to tell you now, when you've got the Holy Spirit residing in you, you've got the Holy Spirit leading you, it's the Holy Spirit that's going to fight these battles for you. See, we're living under the dispensation of grace. We're living in the New Testament now, whereas back in the Old Testament, greatest example being 2 Chronicles. Back then, the Spirit of God came down when God appointed himself, and it came upon men. Anytime you see in the Old Testament, where and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, God sent the Spirit of his Spirit upon men, and it caused them to do a mighty work. It caused them to accomplish the work for him. But these days, the reason why it's so important, again, we understand the working and the person of the Holy Spirit within us, because when Jesus came, while he was in the flesh, he was Emmanuel, God with us. Once he was crucified and he rose again and he went back to heaven, and he sent us the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is Christ, the Spirit of God within us. So we no longer have to depend on excuses. We no longer have to depend on waiting on physical manifestations from God, because we already have, according to Ephesians 3:20, we already have the Spirit of God working in us. But saints of God, we can't freelance this thing. We have to know what we're working with. We have to know, and we have to know how to employ it. And it's simply a matter of obedience to the point that you're killing your flesh every day. And that's what he's letting us know. Now, verse 15 says, "For you did not," and verse 15 confirms this. It says, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." Again, that's affirming and confirming that God has adopted us and made us to be sons, because he's ensured that his spirit rests and rules and abides within us. And there's a key word there in that verse, in that verse of scripture, the word again. He said, "You have not received the spirit of fear again in the bondage." In other words, to receive something again, you had to already have walked in it before. Paul said that we all before have once walked according to the course of this world. The Bible lets us know that while we were yet dead in our sins and trespasses, that Christ died for us. So we're not strangers to the fear. We're not strangers to the sin. But once God has given us deliverance from that, then it now becomes our responsibility, our task, and our mission, our life's design and desire to walk in the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God keeps us free from the spirit of fear and from the spirit of sin and bondage. Verse 16 says, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." I don't know about you, but I rely on this on a daily basis. Just to give you an example of that, for about the last 3 weeks, I've been dealing with a situation at my local church, and it's an internal situation. I can't get into specifics, but I will say this much. When God allows you to go through a season of testing in your life, You never know when, where, and how the testing and what form or fashion the testing is going to come from. But when it's there, it's there. And whatever spirit that's in you is either going to stand up against that test because it's coming against you, or it's going to give in and ride with it. Now, dealing with this situation I had in my church, there is a situation where our board of directors had to make some decisions. I'm a member of the board of directors for my particular church, as well as assistant pastor. But we had to make some very hard decisions. And in these decisions, we're not going to be popular according to the desires of certain people. But when you have it in black and white and you're being tested and your integrity is being challenged and questioned, the Spirit of God in you is what's going to cause you to make sure that your integrity remains intact. This is what I've been faced with. So now there are going to be some changes that take place. I got a phone call yesterday from my bishop, Bishop Philip Aquinta Brooks. And if you're familiar with the Church of God in Christ, you know that he is second in command of the Church of God in Christ worldwide. Now, I don't say that to pump him up as a person or anything like that, but I say that to say that spiritual warfare takes place on all different levels. According to the Bible, the weapons of our warfare are not spiritual, because we're fighting against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, this is the thing. When your spirit aligns with the Spirit of God, again, you're going to be tested. You're going to be tried. And you never know when and from what whom God is going to allow your spirit and your integrity to be tested and tried. So that's what I faced upon yesterday with that phone call. And I pray, God, I can go forward with confidence. I have no malice and no guilt in my spirit. I have nothing to hide. I have nothing to protect. Because one thing I made it a rule a long time ago, particularly when I first get saved, and that stands true, I hold to that to this day. With anyone I ever encounter meet, I can love you no matter what state you're in. But one thing I'm never going to do is compromise my integrity with God. Therefore, I tell people all the time, I will never lie to you, for you, or on you. Many times we are tested in ways like this, and we don't even realize we're being tested. But for the Spirit of God, it's either a pass or a fail. And when I read this, and I read this quite often, it assures me that God has my back because he's my Father. He's not my Father in name only. He's not my Father in word and deed, but he's my Father by way of the Spirit of God that he has provided and given to me. We've got to understand that in this day and age, there are so many things going wrong. As I said before, people can easily be distracted by being attracted to the charisma. The Bible still and always will maintain that man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. So if you're really desiring to please God, if you're really desiring to stay within the goodwill and the graces of God, I implore you to digest everything that's right here. You can join this discussion because we want to make sure that in all of our getting, we always get understanding, amen, because all of us are subject to weakness because of our flesh. All of us are subject to have moments where we're being tempted. All of us are subject. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that we have a high priest who was not blind to our suffering. He was subject to the same suffering and temptation as we are. But he sinned not. God does not desire that we sin. But he also knows that we are prone to failing. we have to do everything that's within us, implored by the God that God has provided, the God that's in us. That's why I love Galatians 2 and 20. I am crucified. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, not the life that I live in the flesh, but the life that I live in the flesh. Now I live according to the Son of God who loved me and died and gave himself for me. Please understand, saints of God, that when we come to you with this, we're not giving you any of our opinion. We're giving you exactly what the word's saying, because at the end, the scope of things, only the word of God is going to stand, and man's opinion does not lie. Man's opinion does not matter, I'm trying to say. Excuse me. God cannot, will not, and does not lie. Now, when we get down to verse 17, he continues this. He says, and if children, then heirs. Verse 16 says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Now, he's letting us know, first of all, y'all, freedom isn't free. The Bible says that who has the Son has set free. He whom has the Son has set him free. The Bible lets us know that we have a spiritual freedom in God because we're free from the law of sin and sickness. We're free to abide in God. We're free to serve God. We're free to worship God. We're free to do everything that we can to praise God. But guess what? Freedom isn't free. When Jesus sent out the 12 in the Gospel of Mark, 10th chapter, he told them that freely you have received, now freely give. In other words, we have a responsibility to let everyone that we know, according to our freedom in God, that all they have to do is to come to God and to do just like we're doing, is to walk in God's spirit, is to receive it directly from this word right here and apply it and walk therein. Please understand, that's why Paul made it clear to us that as long as we expect to reign with Christ, we are also going to suffer with Christ. Because the world hates us. The world hates God. The world hates Christ. So we represent God in Christ. We are a part of God in Christ. We're a part of God's family. So the world naturally is going to hate us as well. That's okay, because the Spirit of God dwells in you, and the Spirit of God is what promotes you. The Spirit of God is what protects you. The Spirit of God is what empowers you. And we have got to move forth in power this day. Too many people look at the church as a finite thing. They look at the church as being these social clubs and a building with four walls. But the Bible says, according to Jesus, that God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, understanding that, God has also let us know elsewhere in Scripture that the church or the ecclesia, the called out of God, is also a spirit. It's not enough in a particular in this day and age for us to just be in the church, but the church, the ecclesia, has to be in us. That's why the book of Peter tells us what? That we are a holy nation, a royal priesthood, and here's the clause, because we have been called out of darkness into God's marvelous light. Everything that you read and you see concerning this is carried forth and is done by God's Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is your active agent. It's your active ingredient for everything. And we can't afford to ignore its importance and its place. We can't afford to take it lightly. Paul goes on and he starts the next section. It's the last these last nine verses or so. And he gives us a great picture of the cause we suffer from God. The suffering is what's going to bring us together with Christ into God's glory at the end of it. And verse 13 says, "For I consider that the," and I love this, "for I consider, I perceive, I understand, I believe that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." Please understand that we are on a journey. And he's letting us know that the journey itself is not the most important thing, but the destination. It's sort of like this. When you're traveling, you want to go from one place to another, and you're in your car, and you want to use your GPS system. And you start at one location. You put in your destination. In this case, our destination is heaven. God is like that GPS system. You can send him up a prayer. You send a request. You say, "Well, God, I'm coming to live for you. I trust you. I believe you. I need you to lead me and guide me on this journey, on this way." So with the navigation system, you put in a destination. Now, the difference is with the navigation system, it only knows where you're at as opposed to where you're going. It doesn't know and understand that there may be many different things it can't see on the road, such as traffic jams and accidents and things like that. It's going to tell you to go from point A to point B. But the greatest thing about God is our navigation system, or our ultimate GPS, is he sees everything in the road, every bump, every turn, every tack. And not only does he prepare us or insulate us on the way, he also re-navigates us through things, because he needs for us to know that no matter what faces against us, the Bible lets us know plainly that if God be for us, he's more than the world against us. So who can stand against us? Who can come against us? I love the way he put it to Joshua. He said that, he said that, "No man, be of good courage. Be not afraid and be of a good courage, because no man will be able to stand before you." That's because of the empowering of the Holy Spirit. So I'm telling you now, I'm encouraging you, that as long as you are standing and walking in according to God's Spirit, there is no man, there is no situation, there is no illness, there is no sadness, there is nothing that can stand before you. I've been under attack in my body by the enemy for over the last 20, 25 years. God has delivered me from high blood pressure. He's delivered me from diabetes. He delivered me from being obese. He's delivered me from cancer. And I'm still yet dealing with an issue now. I do dialysis on a daily basis. But you know what? I have no fear in my heart. I don't dread it. God has kept me, and he's continued to keep me. He's brought me this far, so I have no reason not to think he's not going to take me the rest of the way on out. I made a covenant with God years ago when I was diagnosed with cancer, sitting in the doctor's office. I said, "God, I thank you for this trial. I know that it's not over till you say it's over. And as long as you continue to give breath in my body, I know you're going to allow me to walk in your will and keep me here until I've taught others concerning you and I've done something that would bring glory to your name." And God still has me on that mission. I honor him because I know that I know that I know that were it not for him, I would have been dead and gone a long time ago. I know that he has me here for his purpose. It's not my will to be done, but his. And I do everything I can to stay tuned into his spirit. And I'm encouraging each and every one of you. We love to have these discussions because it's an awesome thing when the bells and the whistles of God's revelation goes off in your spirit, when God begins to open your understanding concerning these things. and you get a little bit more strength. You get a little bit more holy boldness and power. And God allows us. See, just like we have to grow in our faith, we also have to grow in our levels of spirit, of commitment to the Holy Spirit. Because, again, we're all going to be tried and tested. Now, how many know that, and you think about this when you were in school and you had certain points in a semester that you were tested on everything that you've been instructed in, that you've learned at that point. And guess what? During each and every test, the teacher is always quiet. The teacher is always silent. So as God emboldens you and strengthens you with his Holy Spirit, he's going to allow you to be able to recall. The Bible says in the book of John that we have received an unction from the Holy One. And the Holy One, the unction, the Spirit of God is what gives us discernment. That discernment serves to keep us protected. That discernment serves to help us to move forward and progress in the agenda of God. Like I said before, we're always considered guilty by association. Well, guess what? The greatest association that you can be guilty of being associated with and to is the family of God. Now, he said again in verse 18, I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Listen, the Bible lets us know that one day the saints of God are going to judge the world with God. Now, I don't know about you, but if I look at the choices of sitting with God and judging the world versus sitting and being a part of the world and being judged by God, I mean, come on. That's like comparing apples to oranges. That should be the easiest choice to make. The problem for us is we have all of this sinful fruit and these works that come from the flesh. Paul describes them in this very chapter, you know, murders and envyings and things like that. And we've got to understand that those are the very things that attach themselves to our sin to keep us from seeing and operating in the light and the truth and the power of God's Spirit. That's why they're highlighted, but God has given us the fruit of his Spirit, which is love and temperance and meekness. He says against these things, long suffering. He said against these things, there is no law. The Bible lets us know that the enemy is called the accuser of the brethren for a reason, because the brethren are the ones who stand in war against him down here on earth. God gets things done right here on earth through the hands of men. Christ has already been here and left. And when he comes back again, it's just to wrap everything up. While we're here right now and we have the Spirit of God dwelling in us, we are here to do the bidding and the work of Christ on earth. We can't ever take that for granted or forget that or confuse that with anything else. So all of the suffering, everything that we go through, all of the testing, the trial, the tribulation, when this is all said and done, Paul's telling us right here that the glory of God shall be revealed in us. Hallelujah. I thank God that he even thought enough of me to include me in this, to give me the opportunity, the choice, and the freedom to walk in this. Because just like many other people, I don't have that pristine testimony that I've always been this good person or this saintly guy. No, I haven't always been Elder Kerry Williams. Thank God for Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, because I know I was a sinner on my way to hell at one time. I know I walked according to the course of this world. I know I was a part of the children of disobedience. But hallelujah, praise God, I am no longer, I am now a son of God. And it's all due to God's Holy Spirit. It's all due to the grace of God, the salvation of God, and the empowerment of God's Holy Spirit. Verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Verse 20, for the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. And that's describing Christ. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. That word corruption is translated from the Greek as decay. And it says again that the creation, which is you and I, was subject to futility, not willingly because of him who subjected it in hope. And it also says because the creation itself, that's you and I, also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption or decay unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. The fact that God loved us enough to deliver us from certain death and decay, corruption, lets us know that we are indebted to him. And as we are indebted to God for our deliverance, it is our not only right, but it's our duty, it's our responsibility to do everything that we can to walk within his Spirit. And the Spirit itself gives us everything we need. The Spirit itself is what activates this word in our lives, and it's what gives us everything that we need. Remember when Jesus told the disciples before he was translated that he said, I leave to go back to my Father, but I shall not leave you comfortless. He said, I will send you a comfort. And he said, the comfort when he has come shall bring to your remembrance all things what I have said to you. When you put this word in here, in you, when you put this word into you, and the Spirit of God activates it in your life, whatever you need according to this word, whenever you need it, it's what's going to manifest itself in and through you and come out. And the reason why that's so important, because we're living in a day and age that's already been prophesied, first by Christ and then confirmed by Paul to Timothy, that the days that we are now living in, you're going to encounter the turnip and the heat from the enemy by way of men. God loves men. The Bible says that God loves the world. He loves the saving the sin of light. So it's our desire, it's our responsibility to love the sinner as well. It hurts me to see and hear too many people who are, quote, saints of God, and they walk around, and instead of leading with love towards people that they know that are in church or they consider not to be saved or whatever the case is, they lead in condemnation. God is not a God of condemnation, but a God of reconciliation. That's why the Bible lets us know that we have been given the ministry of reconciliation, because it's still God's will that every man be reconciled unto God. The Bible says he would that no man should perish, but that everyone would repent and have everlasting life. Now, if you know that you have already received everlasting life, first thing you've got to do is make sure that you maintain it yourself, because you can't give anybody what you don't have. That's why we have so many ministries and so many churches and people, so many people of God are failing, because they want to look like the part and they have the outward mechanics down part, but they have no clue as to how to walk as according to the Spirit of God. Now, you can be good because you can be so gifted that you might fool people for a part of the time, but you'll never fool God, and eventually your salvation or lack thereof is going to tell on you, because it's going to let you down when you need the Spirit of God the most. That's when you're going through your own trial, or even when you're trying to help someone else through theirs. We can't afford to be like the sons of Sceva today. We can't afford to be like the sons of Sceva, who thought they were going around and doing the work for God, and they were professing to have the Spirit of God, and the evil spirit recognized right away. And when they told him, they said, well, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? When you go into a situation, don't fool yourself into thinking that you can take on some of these spirits because you think that you're so holy. You think that you got so much God in you. No, baby, you got to know that you're walking and operating within the Spirit of God, because you aren't doing anything. It's the Spirit of God that's doing everything. You need the Spirit of God not only to protect you, but to fight for you. We got a lot of people walking in deception these days. The very word of God is coming to pass on a daily basis before our eyes. But if we're looking at the wrong things and we're not tuned to the Spirit, we're looking at places, circumstances, people, and things as opposed to the move of the Spirit. I'm going to read these last few verses, and then I'm going to put it back in the Pastor Ellis' hands because we're going to be getting short on time here. All right, now, verse 21 says, because the Christian itself also would be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Verse 22 says, for we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. That's significant. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. In other words, even those of us that walk in the Spirit, we still go through trials and tribulation. We still groan. We still hurt because feelings are very real. And the feelings affect us. Now, the problem with feelings is that your feelings will lie to you. Your feelings will cause you to step outside of God's will and God's Spirit and do things. And at the end of the day, your spirit serves to please your flesh. They don't serve to please God because they're two separate things. That's why we know and understand that the carnal mind, which is governed by your feelings, is the enemy of God. It can't understand or receive the things of God because the Bible says that they are foolishness to it. So this verse of scripture right here says, even we ourselves groan within ourselves because we are eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Your body is a very real and living thing. And it goes through suffering. And it hurts. When those pains come, I don't care how saved you, I don't care how much of God's Spirit lies within you, you feel and you suffer pain. The difference is that the Spirit of God teach you and helps you how to deal with the pain in the right way by placing it squarely within the hands of God and allowing God's Spirit to comfort you and take you through the pain. It does not kill the pain. It does not diminish the pain because, again, those of us who reign with Christ will also suffer with Christ. Verse 24 says, for we were saved in this hope, but a hope, now listen, hope that is not seen is not hope. But why does one still hope for what he sees? If you see something in front of you and you know that's been promised to you, then that's already an answer. But the hardest thing to do is to listen to God in anticipation and to believe God and to wait. That's why we need the Spirit. No man can physically see God at any time and live, but by faith, with God's Spirit connected or received into your spirit, you see God in the Spirit and you know he's there. Verse 25 says, but if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. And that's by way of the Spirit. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Another thing that bothers me is the use of spiritual gifts in the church today. People think it's so beautiful and charismatic to start talking and speaking out in tongues and things like that. And it's fine if it's really the God of Spirit using them to do it. Whatever the Spirit of God is using the gift of tongues in the church, it's in a particular setting. And there will always be someone there to interpret the tongue, because God is giving a spiritual message directly to the body right there for edification, for building up. But people love to get up and praise and worship and preach and do all this, and they start speaking in tongues, and then they go on. There's no interpretation. They just think it looks good and it sounds good and it's impressive. We have to understand. We have to know what God's doing spiritually, and when the presence of God's spirit is there, there's no mistaking it. But if we don't know the difference, then we'll never realize when it's in operation and when it's not. And when God's spirit is residing in you, there are those times that God is going to pray for you through the Spirit. The Spirit of God prays for you and intercedes for you when you're going through your darkest and your lowest hour. The Spirit of God makes intercession for you, because it intercedes and it prays for you, according to Paul, with groanings that cannot be uttered. There's a special language that only God knows the cipher, and whoever he delivers to decipher form. But this is a spiritual language. It has nothing to do with our human reasoning or understanding. Verse 27 says, "Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Baby, you got everything you need. Just plug in and stay plugged in. Stay tuned in. Verse 28, "And we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." I'm going to leave off right there, and we'll pick it back up at a later date. But I just want to encourage you all tonight to keep on praying, keep on fasting, keep on searching, keep on seeking the move of God and the presence of God's spirit in your life. Keep on employing the Spirit of God in your life, especially when you don't understand, because when you don't understand the thing, oftentimes, God does not intend for you to understand, because he wants to show you the operation and the movement of his spirit. When you don't understand the thing, you pray and ask God to give you. The Bible says that we can come boldly to the throne of grace. And if you don't understand, ask him for wisdom, or ask God for wisdom, because he gives to all men wisdom. This ain't about us. It ain't about me. It ain't about what I want. It ain't about me operating in my own desire. Just like God has a purpose for your life, the enemy has an agenda to try and sift you and filter it into and through your life. But by the grace of God and by way of God's spirit, you already have overcome him. You already have him defeated. God bless you. Back in your hands, Pastor Ellis.
Amen, Elder Carey. It's a pleasure. Amen. From listening to just the inclements of what he's speaking about, and how the word really manifests itself within itself, therefore we begin to just look at the variables of the scripture and begin to just think about just the process of what he said on tonight. You know, you got to have a spiritual walk. If you're going to be sons, if you're going to be daughters of Christ, as a way that we got to be able to line up and be able to be, I hesitated because I'm looking at the expectation. And when I look at that word expectations, he read in verse 19, it really fills a lot of information in terms of how God is really looking for you as man and woman of God to be just like the first creator, Adam, in the garden. The Bible says in verse 19, as he spoke about that area of verse 19, it says, "For the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation," like I said, "of God's sons," for the sons of God. Now, we're not talking about the coming of Jesus Christ and the coming of the end of time. God is saying that it's you to be able to step to the plate, and knowing the reason, all the events of your time are being created, when we look back in the book of Genesis, to dominate, the rule, and reign, God is looking for men and women, God, to finally understand and learn how to step up to the plate and begin to be just what God really designed, engineered, and called them to be. There should be, you can't keep slipping. You know, God has already gave you the opportunity to know that, hey, look, I came in to be a perpetuation for your sin. There's no more reason why you got to continue to keep going back. Matter of fact, Romans tells it in Romans 6. Shall I continue to sin? Now, he talks about that word grace. Well, expectation and faith shows you the same thing. God is waiting.
That's right.
Well, the earnest expectation, look here, the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, if y'all really heard what he spoke about him last week, he says that now you're not just sons of God. If you look at verse 17, now if we are children, then we are heirs.
Yes.
And if heirs of God, we are co-heirs with, listen to how he's saying that. God is telling
right.
you that the same ability that he's awaiting for what's already in you, the blossom, and to step up to the plate and be really what he called you to be. Romans says, man of God, in Romans 4 and 17, he talks about the speaking of the calling things that be not
right.
what they were. You know, the things that really speaks in Hebrews, you know, that I can't see it, but I got to believe. Faith. God has that same the same principles he instilled and then desired and engineered in you from the time you and I were created is yet still there waiting to blossom.
Yes, sir.
I heard a great man of God, he told me one time back earlier in my career or in my time but then ministry, he said that, you know, Pastor Ellis, he said, the most richest place in the world is in the graveyard. And I was baffled at why he said
it. Amen.
Because a lot of us, if it wasn't for the grace of God, I would probably be in that same situation. Because I began to linger back and I began to look at what he said about the book of Jeremiah. Before
uh-huh.
you created, before you designed, before you engineered, put on this earth, you've been given dominion, power, supremacy, authority. To rule, to reign, to convict. You had the same thing that Adam had. You know, when Adam began to name the animals, okay, Adam, okay, monkey, that's monkey. You know, or zebra, zebra. Hippo, hippo. When he called things, it was what he spoke. God said that same thing is in you. See, when you mm-hmm. understand that God is saying, okay, I know what's in you. I know what I put in you. But to be able to look for the expectation of what I put in you is not going to
the earnest failure. Expectation.
I make no failure. Men make failures. But I made
uh-huh.
you to be what I designed you to be. And that's to be the manifested creation of the power of the walking, of the moving, of the presence, of the power of the Holy Spirit. Being that no weapon created, designed, or engineered against you has got the ability to move forth in any shape, form, and fashion. Why? Because God said, look, that earnest expectation for the time you was born, the gift I put in you, it still got the ability to manifest. I'm waiting on you.
Amen.
To move in position and be what you're called and designed to be in the earth that you're in.
Yeah.
Everything he's telling you about the earnest expectation, he calls you a creature. Am I something in there? Waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. You look at this thing and if you really can ponder on it and think about the presence of the suffering of the full manifestation of the glory of God, when you designed to be something great, baby, you're going to suffer. That's why he says in that Romans 8:18, I reckon for the suffering. Right before he comes to the expectation, he tells you in 18th verse, I reckon for the suffering. At this present time, it is not worthy to be. Look, he said, you can't even compare with the glory of the expectation that if you live up to who you are, that will be revealed in you. For the creature is awaiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. God said, you don't even understand that who you are and what you got. You walking with TNT all over you. If somebody
yeah.
doesn't light a match around you the right way and you just get a whiff of the Holy Spirit, you will blow up because what the power
Amen.
Of God is getting you. Faith come by hearing, hearing come by the word of God. If you got the ignition, the ignite, then you need to be the dynamite to be able to believe that God has called you to be. That you just blow up. God never called you to be some kind of light up under some trees, just hidden, even when you go to these circumstances in your life. God designed you to be a powerhouse. You say, I'm looking for you because I know I earnestly put something in you. But for me to get the manifestation out of you, you got to be able to breathe. That's some things I got to deal with and go through. Because I know when I'm shaping you and molding you according to, what is it, Jeremiah 18, when he saw that man of God down there, that potter, with that clay in his hand, God said, the same way is with you. Don't be a 1 Corinthians. What is it, man of God, 13? Just don't be going around making noise, chingering and chambering. Getting events, click clubs, titles, wishy-washy, Dr. Jekyll, saying one thing and doing another, up, look down, right, look wrong, toe up from the flow up, and you know you need a checkup, but you're still playing God. And you go around and look like you made out of gold. No, you just like everybody else. The Bible says you fell short too. You got to learn how to grow. The Bible says we got to come together and learn how to be as one. People are continuing to be their own islands, I heard Bishop Roberts say. Quit saying I, and learn how to what it says in Psalms 133, how good is it for man to dwell together in unity. Quit being separate from what God designed you to be. Quit cutting your arms off. Quit cutting your legs off. Quit cutting your toes off, and then you complain about how you're not getting the full benefits of the body that Christ gave you. He makes that in coordination. That's how the kingdom works in you.
Yes.
The body comes together to be as one, as it says in the book of Ephesians. He talks about the apostolic anointing. He talks about the prophet anointing. He talks about the evangelism anointing. Am I there? And he talks about the pastor teacher. God is talking about the full expectation of the body to come together, that for the working of the body, for the working of the saint. He didn't say nothing about it individually. Quit looking at because you this and you that. No, why you going to cut your arm off for? Why you going to cut your, you know you need it. Why you going to cut that stuff off for? Somebody else out there that you know and heard of can be that body that you need. It can be that leg, that finger, that arm that you need. This is why it's so important to understand about, even in this particular scripture, about how he talks about the fivefold. Now, notice what he's saying here. And the Bible says it's an earnest expectation. As a matter of fact, when you just go back and you just glance back, if you got a chance to look at your amplified version, the Bible talks about the process for the creation waits and eager. Just as a bird waits for a seed. I got to give you, I'm a visionary. Just as you see a bird stretches his head up from the nest. But he stretches his head up from the nest in hunger with the expectation that know that it's meal time. And know there's a whole lot of vultures around. Because some of these young birds and little chicklets in their nest, when they begin to hatch, they don't know that the danger is near. But they stick their neck out with the expectation, knowing that the right thing is going to come and be delivered to them. And here come the mother flying
come
and
on.
Stuff something down. You got to have some stuff down your throat. Because you
Amen.
Ain't just
Amen.
Stick your neck out. Sometimes you got to go through a problem in your life that you got to stretch your neck out. You got to cry out to God. And you got to let God feed you with the Holy Spirit. I'm sorry. I don't mean to harm or hurt anybody, but I'm tired of dealing with Dr. Jekyll's in the body of Christ. You say you're there with me. You say you love me, but you're throwing nails and throwing bricks and irons at the back of my neck. I say, Lord, you got to shake this kind of stuff up. You're not only coming from you, but coming from the ones that's closer to you. Am I there?
That's
it. I don't want to hear this kind of talk, but the word of God tells you that when you understand that how a woman or a man of God, when they send a child off to school and they know they send them off right, and I'm talking in reference to the Holy Spirit, but you got to understand that when you put out, you got to get back. When I send my daughter off to school, I want to go pick up the same way I sent her out. Am I there? Because I'm looking at the clock, the time she got to get off at 2:45. Anybody want to look at a clock in their life? Then knowing when you look back over your life, you've been living a little bit too raggedy, too long. And you need to get yourself up out of loader bar. And you need to stretch your neck out through the lattice or wherever you are and pray that whatever you put out is going to come back to you. God decrees that word. That's some suffering you got to go through. Worrying and waiting and believing and trusting God is a suffering that you know you got to go through, to believe in God's going to come through and in your life. If you can't believe it, then you can't receive it. And he said that the expectation, you got to expect something. The Bible says the work that you've done ain't in vain because I created you to be a leader. I created you to be a creator. But I want you to know that when I created you, whatever I gave you the design to be is already in you, the greater than me that is in you, the heater in the world. I want you to expect the opportunity. You've been my child, that the suffering that you're going through that may not be revealed. If you just keep on reaching out and believing, no matter how hard the times may be, if I can just expect from God and knowing I got an eager expectation and me being a child of God and being a son and an heir that know that everything that falls from Christ will fall onto me. I got to move. Leave that alone because we're going to be in it too long. That the man of God brings, so he brought some strong information to you tonight in terms of how you, if you want to walk as a son and a man and a woman of God, whatever you want to call yourself, is just a title. Because I believe when you get before God, everybody's going to stand up. And there's a robe, he said, you got to receive. But in that robe don't carry no ranks. I got to get you on this one. It don't say you got a cross in one side of your pocket. Am I there? It don't say your philosophy's got to be better than anybody else. I heard the old folks say, when I get to heaven, I'll put on a robe. It didn't say, well, the robe look better than their robe or my robe. But see, you got to understand that people are moving right now because I got a chain on the right side. I got a ring over here. I got a name, and I got a brick and mortar to make me seem better than everybody else. But I believe that when you get there, God's going to look at you and judge you the same way he judges everybody else. The Bible says you ought to not think of yourself as being more high than you ought to be. But you got to be able to break down and believe in this. See, some people, she's hard-headed, elder. Some people, just they like sleeping on nails. But they still want to go and climb back in that pillar of nails. They're too hard. They're too mean. They're too angry. You can't find a husband. You can't even find a wife because your attitude is so jacked up and tore up that you can't even settle down for God to wait on you to bring you something right. You're just all over the place. You try to create a name for yourself, but you will never get a name from nothing until you bow down and understand to do what God called and designed you to be. And am I there? You keep searching and looking, and you wonder why you all messed up because you're not listening to the expectation of God. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness. I hear the Holy Ghost speaking to somebody just going out working feverishly about trying to do something and ain't even including God in what they're doing, but they want fame and rank from man. God said, you ain't going to get it there. I think Saul got upset at David, and my man of God, when the women sung out to say, David, Saul is slow to, what is it, hundreds? But David is slow to thousands. Yeah, they got jealous and got mad. And that's what you got in the body of Christ today. The Bible said never despise small beginnings. And we started this thing. This thing just started up in a corner somewhere. It just wasn't something we threw together. And it was something that was gathered by the Holy Spirit. And this is a good thing about when you learn about an earnest expectation. Whether they roll with you or not, you got to still keep on moving and do what God called you to do. Y'all heard the man of God say that when he sat in the doctor's office and they declared a word on him, they called cancer. They declared a word and so many other things that he didn't have too long to live. But he said, yep, I thank you, Lord, for giving me the trial. I'm willing to put on the whole armor of God, that whatever the enemy got to throw at me, I got to reveal and believe and declare and decree that in the midst of whatever's coming at me, I got the whole armor on somebody in candy armor. But they're still looking and depending on everybody else to get them what they need. The Bible said a record for the suffering at this present time will not be revealed. God got a revealing. God got an expectation of revealing. He got the matter of fact, when you reveal something, everything behind the scenes is taking place. But when you reveal, it's like a movie. You see all the anchors and all the cameras, all the tracks, and all that stuff. It looked raggedy when it started, but when it come on motion screen, it looked like you ain't seen none of that stuff behind the scenes. God said you just like that. He working on you behind the scenes to bring you forth. That when you come like pure gold. He want to make you. He want to design you. But you got to let God be who he's going to be in your life. And stop making moves on your own. Take us out here. Hold on a second. I don't know if the woman of God, I'm a hitter. I'm going to kick that thing. But she might be in there. She might not. She could be. But I'm just going to send her out because I know she's got the baby down there. Woman of God, I believe that, I don't waste. Now, that's my wife and I love, but I don't waste time on that either. No disrespect because you know how I am. I love and respect, but I come down to doing the kingdom business. I believe when myself is in line in the house, God going to take care of all that. Now, she baby Nana with the baby taking care of things in the other side of the studio, but I'm good. I just wanted to make sure I acknowledge her in where I am. And I said to anybody else who's calling into the line, as you heard the word from this man of God, great man of God, the number to call in is 516-387-1220. And all you got to do is put your magical dial, number one, on your keypad. And some people, they're just so late. You know, El, they can't even push a button. They receive. God says sometimes you can get your blessing by pushing a button. Now, I don't want to push a button. I'd rather suffer where I am and stay where I'm doing. I don't want nothing. And what do you say? With nothing you want, nothing you receive. If a man wants nothing, you receive nothing. But I believe when you ask God to deliver you and give you whatever it is that you need in your life, I don't believe he'll hesitate. Not one moment. That is, he spoke the word of God over here in the book of Romans. He talks about the earnest expectation. Too many of us are falling away from the earnest expectations of what God designed and created us to be in the life that he so generally gave us when he died on the cross, the total package. We're falling short of the means of believing and declaring that God got so much in store for us. And he speaks that word so strongly, as the man of God spoke over there in the area of that 19th verse of Romans, for the earnest expect. Is anybody expecting something? I believe a woman of God takes care of her body with expectation, knowing when there was a precious seed about to take. For what God says, a precious seed in you too. Look, stop aborting your pregnancies. Quit cutting short of what God has for you. He declared it before you was born. He created you. He designed you. He engineered you to be something special in the earth. He gave you everything you needed. So he tells you right here, I'm looking for you to know, to realize that even as the bird, as we talk about, sticks his neck out the cage, they're looking for that mother to bring that very meat or whatever need to feed them. I think about the Apostle Paul when he's over there when God led him by the lake over there. And he told him to set that he'll feed him by these dirty birds. I'm going to feed you by the ravens in the morning. I'm going to feed you by, they're going to bring you bread and meat in the morning, bread at night. But they begin to bring him what he needed, even though he was somewhere that looked really like it wasn't even capable of delivering for him. But God made a promise to him, go by the brook trough, and there you shall lie until the brook run dry. And I will feed you by day, and I will feed you by night. And I'm going to feed you with some of the most negative and foul things that fly on this earth. That ravens was dirty birds. They ate off of dead carcasses. God fed them supernaturally with things that sustained him until the time he brought them to the widow woman. God is saying the same thing to you. As he moved along, he was being sustained every way he went because of God's word. God is saying the same thing over here in the book of Romans chapter 18. That 19th verse. You got to expect some things in your life. Quit running around feeling bad, gloom, clouds over here. Like that, what that boy over there in Snoopy, what that Charlie Brown commercial, he always wore a cloud over his head. Lion is one of them boys. He always had the cloud in one of the kids. And sometimes it's like that other one, always covered with dirt always around him. I don't know who his name was. Lion is something of their name. But whatever that dang, every day he went, dirt was around him. So you can bring dirt around you, and you can work with a cloud over your head everywhere you go. But you got to shake that stuff off. Quit feeling sorry for yourself. Quit feeling bad. And believe that God's got so much in store for you. We thank each and every one of you for joining us, man of God. Close us out of here. Great word today. And we thank God for y'all joining us here at Harvest New Life Church and Harvest New Life Studios. We're going to turn it over to the hands of Elder Kerry Williams down there in Saginaw, Michigan, to bring us out of this particular teaching on tonight. Elder?
Amen, amen. We're going to pray benediction in just a second. I just want to say one last thing really quick. And, you know, we all know people who love to take verses of scripture and popularize them and quote them, but too often they don't understand the intent of the spirit behind the word. Jesus said, these words I give you, they are spirit and they are life. This is our very life when we're walking according to the spirit. So people love to quote, we know all things work together for good, but they don't understand the call according to the purpose. The call according to the purpose, and I'm not going to go ahead and read it. We'll save that for next time. But if you read through this scripture, you read verses 29 and 30, and it explains the purpose of the call. Jesus said something very important when he said, many are called, but few are chosen. Amen. choose to remain chosen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your spirit, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for these hearts and these minds that are tuned in tonight, God. And we pray that you would go with us, Lord, as we leave this service, but not your presence, God. Continue to bless and protect us and bring us back to the appointed place, the appointed time, the appointed hour by you without hurt, harm, or danger. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Just how